This is the Relevant Life Church podcast, where we are about connecting with God, relating to people, and reaching our world. Tune in as our church goes through this week's teaching in God's Word.
I'm excited. We're stepping into week six of a series we've called X Factor. How many people have been here for at least one of the messages for X Factor? Awesome. I think the series has been super challenging. I had someone text me this week and say, hey, like, I asked, first of all, they were texting me and I was like, hey, how are you doing? They said, I've been doing so good since this X Factor series. And that was like an encouragement to my heart, not because like I'm doing such a wonderful job or Pastor Sasha's not doing such a wonderful job, but because what we're doing is actually making a difference in people's lives. If you're just coming to church, you're not growing, if you're not feeling challenged, then we're failing. And so it's awesome when you hear that in someone's life to say, hey, I'm growing because of this. I'm feeling stretched because of this. So I hope that you're in the same boat. Pastor Kevin, our lead pastor, if you have no idea who that is, we call him PK, short for Pastor Kevin, if you didn't catch on. Anyway, he'll be back in the pulpit next week, and you won't get to see my face until the following week because I'm preaching once more. So take it while you got it, guys. Anyway, Pastor Kevin is awesome. He's an amazing leader, and he'll be back in the pulpit next week. So I encourage you to register as soon as Tuesday registration opens. How many people say, I will register? Raise your right hand and say, I will register. If not, Pastor Sasser will hunt me down. I'm just kidding. Also a couple things. It was funny. I walked in the office on Friday real quick to do something. And Julie, our office manager, and then what is Brittany's title? Office assistant? Is that what we call her? Okay. I don't know the correct titles. I just call you by your names. Anyway, they were like, hey, like, we have these events coming up. When should we promote them? And I've never been in a season of the church when it was like we struggled figuring out how to promote an event. But it's been like 6 months, people, since we could actually do something. So it's hilarious. Anyway, I have exciting news. We have two events coming up. First of all, on September 23rd, I would encourage you to register at our South Campus. We're going to have a Wednesday night kind of picnic. Bring your own food, just a time for you to connect. Details and registration will be out on Tuesday, so I encourage you to do that. The week after, is that the 30th? I can count. 7 days after. The 30th, we're having a worship and prayer night at this campus. It will also be live stream. I encourage you to be a part of that. Right now in our generation and in our nation and what's going on, I think we need a lot less opinion, like I kind of talked about last week. I think we need a lot more prayer and worship, and so I encourage you to be a part of that. Anyway, now that all those are gone, how many people are tired and want to go home? No? Okay, good. Week six of X Factor. Last week we talked about the power of conviction, the power of godly conviction in a culture of compromise. And today I want to talk about a topic that kind of relates in its own fashion. They kind of intermarry and they work with hand in hand. But I believe that this X Factor quality in your life is probably the most important. And I know I say that like every week, but honestly, I would say this is probably the most important because this applies to any situation you're in, to any walk of life you're in, to any aspiration you have. You need this quality, and that's the quality of faithfulness, the quality of faithfulness. I want you to turn in your Bibles with me if you have one. It's not going to be on the screen because I'm changing a little bit from last service. I feel like my intro did not catch people the right way, the way I wanted it to, so we're going to go a different route, and hopefully God does something. All right, so Acts chapter 1. If you don't have your Bible, it's okay. You can look at the internet too. We have that thing called internet that's been around for a while now. So Acts chapter 1, give you a little bit of context to this passage of scripture. Jesus has just left earth and he's left his disciples. He said, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing. And basically, I'm giving you my Holy Spirit, like coming up, like you need to wait and seek the Holy Spirit. So they're in the upper room. They're waiting for the Holy Spirit to come. And if you remember right, before Jesus died, he was betrayed by one of his disciples named Judas. And after he got betrayed, after Judas betrayed him, Judas was so guilt-ridden, he was so ashamed of himself, he hung himself and died. And so that's really sad to see that happen. But we see that the disciples who are now Jesus-less, Jesus has left earth, they're by themselves, they're seeking God, and Peter stands up, one of the main apostles, and he says, hey, we need to fill the role of Judas's spot. And so what do? They say, hey, here's a couple guys that have been with us, and guess what the requirements were to fill this role of apostle? See, because you have to understand, apostle in the New Testament, like that's like the highest level of leadership you can have in God's church. It's like the highest office you can hold in God's church. And look at what they say. So Peter says, hey, we need to fill this hole. And then he says, therefore, it is necessary to choose one of the men, and this is the qualification, who have been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus was living among us, beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us. for one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. And I want you to catch this, because I believe that what they're pointing out in Matthias's life, the man they chose to take this position, was faithfulness. Look at the only requirement. They didn't say, hey, we want to find someone who's filled with the Holy Spirit and can just preach the house down. We don't want to find someone that is filled with the gifts of the Holy Spirit and can just take people somewhere. That was not the requirement. Not someone who can sing well, not someone who can do kids ministry well. It was someone who had been with them from the very beginning and stuck it out this whole time. Faithfulness, sticking to something, being a part of something. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. How many people have heard the phrase, the grass is greener somewhere else? How many people have thought that phrase? You're like, why can I not just have like what this person has? And what I want to challenge you with today is I believe that the only thing standing between what you want now and that grass that's green is faithfulness. See, in culture today, it says, hey, if your grass is not green, just uproot and move into someone else's area that's green. And that's not how the Bible works. That's not how God calls us to live our lives. He calls us to plant and to live a life and to cultivate where we're at. And this idea of faithfulness, I looked really hard for a definition this week. And I don't know if you've ever been in this position, but I typed in faithfulness on Google and I was expecting like some dictionaries to come up. And the definition that came up was four words: remaining loyal and steadfast. And I was like, thank you, dictionary, because I need to go look up remaining loyal and steadfast, because I need to go, what are all these words mean, right? Like, those are big words. Like, I'm a simple-minded person sometimes, okay? I need you to give me more explanation. So I ended up writing my own definition kind of along these lines. I ended up finding some other definitions of someone trying to do it, but I felt like they were not clear enough for what I was trying to give you. So here's the definition of faithfulness. Faithfulness is a strong commitment to someone or something that you stick to regardless of the temptation to break that commitment, and regardless of how long it takes to see the harvest of that commitment. So just think about that for a second. Strong commitment to someone or something that you stick to regardless of the temptation to break it, or regardless of the hardship it takes, the long time it takes to see the harvest of that commitment. And this is like so against what culture tells you today, because faithfulness in culture has been taken over by this word success. They want you to be successful. And so you can make a commitment in your life, but that commitment can be nullified by getting more money, by a better chance of success, by an easier path. This is why we see marriages falling apart. Like, as soon as a couple hits a hard road, they decide, hey, this is not working. Maybe we should find a different person to be committed to. And this is the problem, because so many of us jump ship prior to ever seeing the fruit of faithfulness. And that's the title of my message today, the fruit of faithfulness. Faithfulness leads to fruitfulness. Faithfulness leads to fruitfulness. And I want to give you a couple stats this morning to show you kind of what I'm talking about. And I want you to grasp this. This message is going to be super simple today, but I believe that it's going to be one thing that you can hold on to for the rest of your life. It's something that God's been teaching a lot in my life. Trenton, are you being faithful? You want more, but are you being faithful? So I don't know how many times I've looked at the landscape of my life and said, hey, why can't I have what this person has? Why can't I have this opportunity that this person has? Why can't I be given more platform or be given more of this? And I always come back to it's because I still have yet to be faithful. Faithfulness will lead to fruitfulness, but it takes time. So I want to give you a couple stats today, because people don't understand the value of faithfulness. I figured as I was researching, what areas can I like show people how much faithfulness is a struggle in today's culture? And the two areas I thought of was, first of all, jobs, and then marriage. So the first thing is jobs. Between 60 and 70% of all employee turnover is voluntary. So almost 3/4 of people quitting their jobs is not because they were fired, and is not because the job asked them to step down, or they recognize, like, I can't do the job. They literally are stepping down because they don't want to be there. They want to find something better. Approximately 3 million U.S. workers leave their job each month. 3 million people leave their job each month. 51% of employees are considering a new job at all times. And maybe this fits for one of you. Maybe you're like, I'm so sick and tired of being at this job. Total employee quits have risen every year since 2010. In 2010, 22 million Americans quit their job. Guess how much it was in 2018? 40 million. Almost a double increase of people quitting their job. And an interesting survey I found that I think kind of points out why people quit their job was a survey done. It was on Forbes. I'm not sure who did the, I don't remember who actually did the survey, but it was taken on about 13,000 millennials across 42 different countries, and they talked to them about their jobs. And here's some of the things. 49% of millennials said they would quit their job within 2 years. You realize that if millennials quit their jobs, like starting out, like what's the starting age? Like somewhere between 18 and 20, 25, right? Whenever you get your college degree or if you go into a trade. So if they quit their job every 2 years for their working lifetime, that's 15 to 20 jobs over their lifetime. The next thing was 25% of the same respondents reported leaving an employer within the past 2 years. 25% of people said, hey, I just got out of this one job. Only 28% of respondents said they would remain with their employer for at least 5 years. And what's crazy to me is the top reasons for quitting were they were unhappy with their compensation, they wanted more money, and they wanted higher position in their job. The job wasn't moving fast enough for them. And when I read that, in my head, I'm thinking, the people you're wanting to be like, the people with more money and with higher levels of leadership at your job have been faithful to the job for well beyond, like, probably you were born. But this is the culture we live in. If I don't get it now, I'm bouncing. I'm going to look for something else. And marriage is no different. More than 90% of people marry by age 50 in Western cultures. But 40 to 50% of people married in the U.S. divorce. Half the people that get married divorce. That's sad. Like, you think about the lost art of faithfulness. Faithfulness, when you take a pledge to be married, I hope no one's taking the pledge expecting to get out of marriage. But like in your vows, you say, until death do us part. Not until hardship takes us apart. Not until we stop loving one another. And people make this pledge, but they don't keep the commitment. There was a study done on people ages 18 to 44, and here's what the results were. In 2002, 54% of people 18 to 44 had cohabitated, meaning they had lived together prior to marriage, and 60% had been married. So 20 years later, almost 20 years later in 2019, 59% of people have cohabitated. So it's gone up 5% and 50% of people have been married. So cohabitation's gone up and marriage has gone down. And what does that tell us? People, instead of making the commitment, just decide, hey, I might be unfaithful later, so let's just not make the commitment right here. Let's just not make a commitment at all. It's good for both parties. We can have the enjoyment of a little bit of the fruit, but we don't have to actually be tied down. And I don't know about you, but this is not just affecting in these areas of life. It's affecting all over the place. You look at the amount of fatherless children. You look at the amount of families that are torn apart by lack of commitment. And so my challenge is to you, I don't know where you're struggling with commitment. I don't know where you're struggling with being faithful, but I have a good inclination that you're already in your life going, man, I feel like I should not be like thinking about quitting on this. Maybe it's a job. Maybe you've been bouncing from job to job. Maybe it's in a relationship. I don't know, but I believe that God's already kind of pointed out to your heart. So I want to talk to you about this idea of faithfulness because I believe that God's called you to faithfulness. And I want to give you three things this morning about what faithfulness does. And this is coming from biblical principles. I'm not talking from my own life. I'm talking about biblical principles because that's what we're supposed to base our life on, okay? And so I believe without a doubt that as you are faithful, your life will be fruitful. The things you desire most in your life will come to fruition if you decide to be faithful. So the first thing this morning is that faithfulness plants. Faithfulness plants. In order to have a chance at reaping the fruit of faithfulness, you need to plant yourself. In order to have a chance at getting the fruit of faithfulness, getting fruit in life, you need to plant yourself. How many people have heard the statement before, put your roots down? Like, we need to put your roots down. Like, this isn't a movie maybe, or you've heard a friend. I think I've heard it in a movie more and more. Or in real life, someone said something along the same lines. But this statement is used when someone's saying, I'm either ready to settle or not ready to settle. So maybe you'll ask someone, hey, like, you've been dating this person for a while. Like, why haven't you guys gotten engaged? Like, why haven't you moved forward on this? And they might be like, well, I'm not ready to put my roots down. And what are they trying to say? They recognize that as you plant yourself, as you put roots down, you're declaring permanency over the situation. Once you're married, like, you're supposed to not break that commitment. Once you go down a career path and you decide, hey, I'm taking schooling for this and I step into this job, you're committing, I'm going to be at this job for a while. See, the issue is we like to, as the culture says, not be tied down. No strings attached, right? We like to keep our options open. But here's the issue. As you sit in your life and you have not planted, you will be seeing the fruit in other people's lives that have planted themselves and not reaping any fruit yourself. I don't know how many times I've heard or even thought in my own life, I need to wait to settle until I find the perfect place to settle. Like, I don't think this person is my significant other, so I don't think I should move forward. Or I don't think this is the job I really want to have, so I don't know if I should move forward with this. But here's the issue. See, fruit comes from the process more than it does the location. The writer in Ecclesiastes tells us this, whoever watches the wind will not plant. Whoever looks at the clouds will not reap, as you do not know the path of the wind or how the body is formed in a mother's womb, so you cannot understand the work of God, the maker of all things. What is he saying? He's saying a farmer who goes out to his field and waits for the perfect weather is never going to plant seed, because there's never a perfect situation to do what you're wanting to do. But here's the issue with most people, is they wait for the perfect location to plant themselves. What if instead of you waiting for the perfect option to decide, hey, I'm going to plant myself, I'm going to marry this person, I'm going to take this job, I'm going to make this commitment. What if you use your time, instead of waiting for the perfect situation, you use your time cultivating the ground that you have in front of you? See, a lot of times we, like I said, we wait for the perfect situation, but if we took our time to actually just cultivate the ground in front of us, we can make the perfect location to plant ourselves. You might have to remove some trees. You might have to remove some different things in your life. You might have to, it may not be the best location ever, but you might have to move some stuff out of the way, but you can make it a perfect place to plant yourself. Proverbs 28:19-20, and this is so relatable to me, because I don't know how many times I have jumped ship on something because I made a commitment to something thinking it would be something else, and then it didn't end up turning out the way I wanted it to. I don't know if you've been in that situation, but the writer of Proverbs says this: those who work their land will have abundant food, but those who chase fantasies will have their fill of property, or poverty, not property, poverty. Property too. No. What is he saying? He's saying those who constantly just are jumping ship to ship, they're never going to reap a harvest because they're not taking time to plant. They've not taken time or opportunity to have a harvest. And so what you need to recognize this morning is maybe in your life you're unsatisfied with something that you have right now. Maybe you want a better job. Maybe you want a better position. I don't know. There's so many things that we can be better faithful to. What if instead of complaining and looking for a better place that will hopefully bring you that thing, you just decided God's put me here for a reason, so I'm going to plant myself and I'm going to work hard to see if fruit comes out of it. This is where you look at someone's marriage and you go, man, they've been married for like 50 years. Like I pointed out last service, Marty and Julie, I just pointed at you, Julie, for Marty. Marty and Julie, he's our sound guy, lead sound guy. Julie is our office manager. Today is their 29th wedding anniversary. Kudos to them. And you see the power of marriage, and you see this commitment that people have made, and you go, man, they still love each other. They still have fun together. Like, yeah, there's hiccups in their life, but man, they look like they're having a fruitful life, and you want that, but you don't recognize it's taken this long to get them to where they're at. And sometimes we spend so much time looking at this thing, forgetting what it costs us, forgetting what it's going to take to get there. And so my encouragement today is to plant, to just plant, to just put yourself down, to make roots, to say, hey, I'm not looking for something better. I know God will bring something better if I'm faithful. Good. Jeremiah chapter 29. If you know the story of Jeremiah, and if you were here even last week, I talked about the Israelites being taken captive from the nation of Israel to Babylon. And you see that for 70 plus years, the nation of Israel was in bondage, in exile, in a different nation than their own. This is God's instruction to the people of Israel through the prophet Jeremiah to those who were taken into captivity. He says, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says, so that all those I carried into the exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. He says, build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. Also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because as it prospers, you will prosper too. What is he saying? He's saying, I know this is not the best place. Like, no one wants to be taken from their home and put into a different country, right? But he's saying, you have no other choice. You got to plant yourself, or you can sit here waiting until finally you get out of exile. But as you plant yourself, I can bring about prosperity in your life. So what if you started going, man, I want prosperity in my life. I'm going to start making the possibility to be prosperous. So that's point number one, faithfulness plants. The second thing faithfulness does is it prepares. It prepares. In order to maintain and enjoy the fruit of faithfulness, you need to prepare yourself. In order to maintain and enjoy the fruit of faithfulness, you need to prepare yourself. Sometimes I think we so undercut the process of preparation in our life. See, culture says destination's the best thing, right? Like, that's why you see all these new gizmos. I was talking before service with some of our tech people about like how cell phones now are like over $1,000, and like it's just like constant. There's always something new technology-wise out there. And you're always wanting this new thing, right? You always want this new thing. But here's the issue. We always want new things. We want these flashy, fancy things. We forget that sometimes it takes a long process of preparation to be able to handle and wisely use those new things. So if God just gave you everything you wanted, how many people would be honest to say, I probably will squander this like a fool in some way or another? It's like the prodigal son. He goes to his dad. He's like, hey, I want my inheritance now. And what does the next verse say? He goes out and squanders it all. He loses all the money because he was too immature to handle it. We want to skip the preparation and just get the destination. And we cannot do that. You cannot fast track the lessons you learn during faithfulness. It's not like you can pay for quicker shipping on Amazon, right? You're like, I'm really impatient. I want this. You cannot do that with the rewards of faithfulness. I wrote on my notes that faithfulness is not sexy, but it leads to what is sexy. And I almost call it on my point this, but you think about it, sexy is like that flashy, attractive new thing. No one goes, man, you've been like in this marriage for 25 years and like, No one's pumped. Like, no one's like, man, it looks so good to wait to be a manager one day at my job or to make more pay. No one like is pumped about the waiting process. We're all just pumped about the gift that the waiting process brings us. But the statement's been made, success cannot take you where your character cannot sustain you. Faithfulness prepares and builds and teaches our character so that we can enjoy and sustain the fruit produced in our life. Just because something is bad does not mean it's not good. Just because something is hard does not mean it's not good. I ran across a story, a parable of a butterfly. Has anyone heard the parable of a butterfly before? Basically, the story goes that someone's walking through their garden or nature and they notice that a caterpillar that has been in its cocoon is starting to pop out like a butterfly. So he decides, hey, I'm going to start watching this butterfly and this process go on. Eventually, the butterfly kind of pokes a hole in the cocoon and tries to get out of this cocoon. And he struggles for a while. The butterfly's trying to get out. And then finally, the butterfly just stays still. Like, it's exhausted. It's been trying. So the man goes, hey, maybe I'll just help it out. So he takes a pair of scissors and he cuts the cocoon open. Next thing you know, the butterfly is shriveled up and it dies. Its short life was lived in a miserable way. What the guy didn't realize is the process of the butterfly struggling to get out of the cocoon made the wings stronger. It made the butterfly stronger so it could sustain the life that it was created to live. See, here's the issue. You want to fast track the lessons you need to learn. And God wants to give you more. He wants to let you fly. But if you're not prepared to fly, you're going to die. And so we have to recognize, we have to put in this work. We have to put in this process. A couple verses to just remind you of. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 2 through 3. If you know the context of this passage of scripture, you see Moses. He was the guy that kind of led Israel, not kind of, he led Israel out of Egypt. And if you know the story, he's leading them through the wilderness for 40 years before they can step into the promised land. And he ends up making a huge mistake, and God ends up saying, like, Moses, like, you're going to be able to look at the promised land, but you're not going to be able to actually enter the promised land. So Deuteronomy is kind of this lengthy farewell speech to the Israelites of what they need to expect in the coming years, what they need to remember in the coming years. And so this is what he says in chapter 8, verses 2 through 3. He says, remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. And when I read this passage recently, I just felt like God saying, don't neglect the wilderness. Do not hate the wilderness, because it's preparing you. God had to test and prepare Israel because he wanted to give them a gift, but if they weren't ready for it, he knew the gift would be squandered. They end up squandering it because they're stupid humans, but it's fine. Anyway, you have to think about this. Sometimes you guys are so focused. I get so focused on wanting something, and God's like, can you just chill out and focus on the preparation right now? I'm taking you on a journey to prepare you. Number three today is this. Faithfulness patiently perseveres. In order to reap the fruit of faithfulness, you need to patiently persevere. No matter how hard it is, no matter how long the wait is, when you think about the two greatest enemies in your life to what you want most, two things come to mind. First of all, hardship. That's a huge enemy, right? No one likes to go through hard things to get what they want. And then the other one is time. No one likes to wait to get what they want. Can anyone agree with that? So how do we fight both of those enemies? by patience and perseverance. Perseverance is pushing through hardship, not letting it stop you from going to your goal. Patience is waiting. It's okay with time because it recognizes that after this time, it will pay off. And so we have to be okay with patiently persevering to see the fruit of faithfulness. In order to reap the fruit of faithfulness, you need to patiently persevere. There's this passage in Jeremiah, and it's about the prophet of Jeremiah. And if you know the story of Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 1, you see Jeremiah's called by God to do amazing things for God. He's called to be a spokesperson on behalf of God to the nation of Israel. And so 12 chapters into the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah starts getting fed up. And if you see his call, God basically says, like, you can't be afraid of people or I'm gonna embarrass you in front of them. He's like, God's like, I'm gonna make you like a fortified city. You're supposed to tear down. You're supposed to do difficult things. And Jeremiah kind of loses sight of this. And in chapter 12, he's like, God, like, why is this so hard? Like, I can't do this anymore. I'm frustrated with the situation. I'm frustrated with the people you're calling me to talk to and to lead. And God's response to Jeremiah is this: if you've raced with men on foot and they have worn you out, how can you compete with horses? If you stumble in safe country, how will you manage in the thickets by the Jordan? In 21st century terms, he's basically saying, Jeremiah, if you're like too weak to stand up and do this right now in a super easy situation, how are you gonna do it when I decide to put you on a higher platform with more things? He said, Jeremiah, you need to patiently persevere through this difficult process because in doing so, you will reap the fruit of faithfulness on the other side. You need to patiently persevere. In John chapter 15, we see Jesus telling a parable of how God is like a gardener in our life and how Jesus is the vine and we are the branches and that like we are in God's garden, we're connected to Jesus. And he uses this illustration to say that as God prunes you, you will bear more fruit. Basically, we know that if you're taking care of a plant, like you can't just let a bunch of branches hang on the tree. You have to constantly prune it so it can eventually grow stronger and grow and gain more fruit. And so Jesus is telling his disciples, like, don't be afraid of the pruning process. And can you just imagine, like, because this is like all just a parable. Can you imagine, like, picture in your life, like, things that have been cut out of your life, things you love? Maybe a relationship, maybe something that you used to do a lot and God said, hey, that's not good no more. And you've had to go through this process of being pruned, but it's paid off. And so we have to recognize that pruning process is going to come, but we have to persevere in order to see more fruit. We have to patiently persevere in order to see more fruit. This is why Galatians 6:9 tells us, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. If we do not give up. And so I want to challenge you today. I'm going to invite the team forward. I want to challenge you today to think to yourself, what am I struggling with patience in? For some of you, maybe right now you've been hurt in the past. Maybe sexual abuse happened. Maybe you lived in a very verbal and emotionally abusive home and you're so badly wanting to see different relationships in your life. You crave the ability to step into a relationship with someone like you see others have and you want the fruit of that. But you haven't taken the hard steps to go to counseling and get it figured out. Maybe you haven't taken the hard steps to pursue the awkwardness of a relationship to see the fruit. I don't know what else is in your life. Maybe somewhere you're like, man, like, why can I not like just get a higher position at my job? Why can I not get more pay? And you've never stayed at a job longer than a year or two. I don't know what is in your life that you need to be faithful to, but I believe that God's called you to faithfulness. And as you are faithful, he will provide fruit in your life. I know this is simple and it's not like one of those things like I can magically transform for you. But I want to take the next few minutes, not even minutes, I'll give you 30 seconds. I'm going to ask you to dim the lights, kid. And I want to just take a moment. I want you to close your eyes and I want you to ask God, what are you calling me to be faithful to? What are you calling me to be faithful to? I believe he'll give you a responsibility. He'll give you the answer. God, I thank you today for the power of faithfulness. God, I thank you that we can stand here and know that the process, the journey to the fruit of faithfulness will not be a short one. It will not be an easy one, God, but we know standing on your word, God, and your promises and the principles that you communicate to us, God, that it will lead to fruit. God, I don't know about anyone else in this room, God, but I want to see the fruit that you have for my life. Not fruit that I've chased after, not the success that the world wants me to have, that I jump from ship to ship trying to find the best success I can find. God, I want the fruit you have for me. God, if it means that I have to go through a long journey, God, to actually see it. God, I see time and time again, God, in your word about people that have waited so long before they could step into the fruit that you had for them. Jesus, Son of God, he waited till he was 30 years old before he started his ministry and seeing the fruit in his life. God, I look at John the Baptist, God, same thing. He lived in the wilderness for so many years prior to ever getting to experience the fruit. God, Israel had to go through the wilderness, God, to see the fruit of the promised land. God, Joseph, the man who ended up saving the Israelites in Egypt, God, he had to go through 13 plus years of pain, God, and misery before he ever even got to see what you had promised him. God, in story after story, we see over and over and over again, God, and there's people in here that are not wanting to stick to it. God, they're wanting to give up. God, I don't know if that's in a relationship with a child that is theirs, but they're already divorced, God, and they want to stay in this child's life, God, but it's so hard, the tension's so hard, and it'd be easier at times to quit. God, I pray that we would not quit. God, that we remember, God, that as we don't become weary, God, as we keep doing good, as we keep sowing good, eventually, God, we will see fruit in our life. God, so I pray right now you would do what I cannot do, what words cannot do, God, and that is change hearts. God, that you would put a God burden in our hearts today to say, Jesus, I do not want to give up. I do not want to give up. I want to see the fruit. God, and I pray for anyone online, God, or even in our service, God, today that's in ministry of some sort. God, and as a fellow pastor, God, I don't know how many times I have wanted to give up. Coming to youth group with a few amount of kids or kids that seem like they don't want to be there. God, or showing up on Sunday when it seems like no one wants to be there. God, or planning an event and seeing something not happen, God, or pouring your life into a ministry, God, to see it not come to fruit like you thought it would. God, I pray for an extra special anointing on those people in this room, God, and online, God, and anyone this is going to reach, God, and I pray for it in my own life. God, you've not called me to be successful. God, you called me to be faithful. God, you've called me to be faithful. So I pray that that would be said of each one of us. God, when we get to heaven, we would hear the words, well done, a good and faithful servant. God, we just thank you for it. Church, would you stand with me this morning? We're gonna close out in a time of worship.
Here at Relevant Life Church, it's our mission to see people connect with God, relate to one another, and reach our world. This single statement drives everything we do as a church. Our hope is that today you were encouraged in this. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.